This is Red Ice Radio, a beacon of sanity from Northern Europe. RedIceCreations.com.
Welcome everybody, this is Henrik and you are listening to Red Ice Radio. Our website is RedIceCreations.com and we are coming to you from Scandinavia, Sweden, to be a little bit more specific. It's good to talk to you today, it always is. A warm welcome to everyone tuning in from around the world. Today we have Dean Clifford with us from Canada to talk about his opinion on government, law, freedom, and the legal system that we are all born into. Dean has been providing resources and opinion to help guide the Free Man on the Land movement for a few years now. His material and the videos he presents, primarily uploaded and featured on YouTube, have been well received and spread far and wide on the internet. The material has been an aid to many who want to come to a better understanding of a very complex and difficult law system. It has also been proven to be helpful for the already existing and spontaneous lawful rebellion revolution that is ongoing around the world. Clifford shares with us parts of his own journey, how he's grown, awakened, and come to a better understanding of the system around us. Stay with us for much more. Welcome to Red Ice Radio, Dean. It is good to talk to you and finally get you on the program, of course. How are you today?
Very good. Yeah, we've had a few missed paths here so far. So,
but this is really good. So how are things today there on a day like this when the Canadian national ice hockey team was booted off the World Championship tournament by, well, Slovakia, actually, of all teams here in the quarterfinals?
Wow, there's hockey going on right now?
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't pay attention to that whatsoever. I haven't had cable in 12 years. I forgot that there's even probably hockey going on right now.
Yeah, yeah. No riots on the streets. That's what
Hey, sounds good, though. I guess no more brawls between us and the Russians for this year, so I'll have to, to find out about that.
That's right. No, I remember, was it last year with the Vancouver Canucks lost, and there was a hell of a riot there in Vancouver?
Yeah, yeah. All the shining examples, the beacons of society that that rioted in downtown Vancouver, pissed off that their team lost. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, really good. Of course, we're not here to talk about hockey today. Yeah, but we're going to talk a little bit about law. But you know, maybe freedom even is a better word. We're going to get into here. But why don't we start at the beginning a little bit, Dean, for potential newcomers? And I want to kind of ask you how you ended up, I guess, giving you know, advice on legal matters, if that's how we could you know, define your area, Dean.
Yeah, that and I guess waking people up now. But boy, it's been a long road. I've told the story briefly a few other times on I think once on Angela Stark's show there too, talk show. Hopefully people don't get bored to death listening to this story, but essentially what it was about going on 16 years ago now, when after I completed my first year of university and I was in my second, and I started getting my own construction company together, and I kind of got out into the world of business there before I even completed university. And that was my very first year ever filing, when I knew nothing about, I've never heard of any of this kind of stuff before. I was still under the illusion that, you know, like Canada was a legitimate country, and being a good little taxpayer and, you know, productive member of society and all that kind of stuff was still in my head, especially the rest of the brainwashing at university. I had my first run-in with Canada Revenue Agency. And basically that started the very first year I ever filed that I was in business for myself, led to them sending me a tax bill for four times what I even made that year. Which led to a fight where they told me that they were just going to start leaning all my bank accounts and coming after me. And it was my responsibility to prove that I didn't owe the money that they said I owed. And that was my first clue that something was wrong with this system. Because I remember thinking, well, that's not even possible. How is it my responsibility to prove I don't owe the money that they say I owe? Shouldn't they have to prove I owe money?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to ask them that question. And I used to ask them to say, well, I said, well, send me copies of all your paperwork to prove I owe this much money. And they'd get pissed off. And they'd say, no, we don't have to send you anything. We're not required to do that. The burden's on you. And After a year or two of that, where they started attacking me like very badly, they froze bank accounts, they were shutting my company down, doing all sorts of bad things to me. I think they put liens on a property that I'd bought to fix up and sell, which meant I couldn't sell it. My money was tied up. They basically did their best to destroy my life. And I decided at that point in time that maybe I should start looking into what's going on here, because something wasn't right with all this. It kind of stunk, right? And that's I think the internet was pretty new back then, and I remember I just got my first computer, and I got onto a search engine, and I just was pissed off one day, and I typed into the little browser thing there, how does Canada Revenue Agency have the power that they have? I just threw that out there, and a website came up called dtaxcanada.org, and I think it was Eldon Warman's website. And I just started reading a couple of pages into that. And then I remember, it said right on there, you're not the name on your birth certificate. That's a corporation. It's spelled in all capital letters. And sure enough, I looked into my – I got my wallet out and I looked in and I pulled my birth certificate out and just went, you got to be fucking kidding me. And then bam, that was when all the hair stood up on my arms and I'm like, no. And that was my Matrix moment. So – ever since then, it's been a long road to find out, working off other people's work and reading as much as I can and research into finding out this giant scam, this illusion that's all going on that's really started to come to a head in the last 2 years. So there was some pretty good battles. I've had battles with Canada Revenue Agency. I've had run-ins with the police. Fought all sorts of criminal charges. And, I appear to be winning and I appear to be out now. So I figure... at no point in the last 15 years did I start to understand this better than when I started teaching this to other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was when I had to start thinking about this in terms that other people understand, which made me, rethink every angle of all the information I've collected over the last 12, 14 years. And that's when everything started coming together much better in my head. So that was kind of my start. It was income taxes.
Right,
income taxes and the government basically just trying to destroy me, and I didn't think that that's what governments were supposed to do.
That you got that right, and so we have this kind of I guess we can call it free man on the land movement or whatever, and we can kind of get into that a little bit later if you want to. But the fact is, you seem to have, from my perspective, and I've broken through to a lot of people, with your particular perspective, with your particular angle, and you, as you said, you've sifted through a lot of this material. Is that primarily why that is, do you think? Or why is it that people are attracted to your videos and what you say, Dean?
You know what? I've heard this from a good deal of people. I don't know what it is, but there's something about my logic and reasoning abilities that I'm able to sift through a lot of information and automatically sift out bullshit. I call it my built-in bullshit detector, right? And I'm just able to sift through, and I find my way right to the important stuff that makes sense. And I'm able to simplify that as much as possible. That was one of my big things when I was in university, is I like to break things down into its most simple terms. And that way you're able to see things and make sense of it a lot easier. And I think that's what people kind of like, because I've taken this and I've taken something that used to take years and years to learn all this nonsense, like it was coveted information that people had that would only be released to you, after you've hung around for a couple of years and done your time and gone through courts and everything. And I basically just said, no, look, here it is, guys. This is it right here in 2 hours or less. And everybody understands it. And I explain it to some people that have been doing this for 10, 12 years. And I sit down with them for an hour and I talk about it. And they just go, oh, my God, I get this now. And it's just by keeping it simple. Everybody wants to overcomplicate things unnecessarily. And I do the opposite of that. Every day I'm making things more simple. What I used to take 2 days to teach people, I could probably do in 2 hours now.
Trim it all the time, right? So
trim it, yeah. Trim it, get rid of the nonsense, get rid of the crap, get rid of all the beliefs that you're going to get rich doing this. That's the first thing I do to turn people away, is if you're trying here to get rich or to get free money or to try to pay off a mortgage or get access to billions of dollars in secret accounts, you're in the wrong place, because that's never going to happen. But if you want to know who you are and what freedom is, well, I can teach you that in 2 hours or less.
So that's really what this is about.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's actually, people call it the free man on the land movement, or a lot of, and then a lot of people on the other side of the fence, like government and police, like to call us like an anarchist movement, or like we're trying to be lawless individuals. And the funny thing is that's the most You know, that's the most amount of hypocrisy I've ever heard in my life, because all we keep teaching people is, no, we need to return to law and order because we don't have any right now. People say, well, if everybody did what you guys are doing, we would have anarchy in the streets. And I tell people, no, we have anarchy right now. We need to go back to law and order. That's why everything sucks right now. There is no law. Everything is lawless right now. Cops break the law. Government break the law. Corporations break the law. Nobody follows anything. But the minute we try to speak up, we get smashed in the face with a sledgehammer.
That's right.
Right? That is anarchy. We have anarchy right now. We need to return to law and order. And that's what this movement is to try to restore law and order to society, because it's gone already. People want to know what anarchy looks like? Look around. We're there.
I would tend to agree with that. Definitely, Dino. Obviously, as you stated, there seems to be a lot of bullshit out there as well. There's a lot of things being thrown around about this, and a lot of, I guess, then from your perspective as well, misconceptions and so forth. Is there anything you feel that would be necessary to kind of clean off the table here? You mentioned some, of course, but is there anything else kind of thrown around out there? Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. That's actually a great thing to bring up. That's the other thing, too, is that I think that most of the information that's out there is probably put out there by the government or by government agents, where they're trying to confuse everybody. Probably 90% of the information actually is put out there to confuse people, or people want to try to sell them into a program where they have to pay lots of money over a couple of years to learn everything. They'll hold information back and they'll say, you're not ready for that yet because, you got to learn all this first. That's all nonsense. Any of these groups that are trying to sell people on how to access treasury accounts or how to take advantage of the system the same way that the people that built it do, you can't do that. All these people are just trying to get rich. They're trying to get things for free, and they're doing the opposite of what we're trying to teach people, which is, look, we don't need this system that they built. We don't need this credit system. We don't need all this money. We don't need all these toys. We don't need all this complication in our lives. We can get right back to basics. We can get right back to simple. And the more we try to play in their system to benefit from it, the more we just become dependent and reliant on it. And that is what gives it its power, is when we try to use this system. It's not ours. They built it for them, not us. And people don't get that.
Let's talk a little bit about that. That's a really important point. And who would you define as them, and how far back do we need to go, in your opinion?
Well, people seem to think there's bloodlines that go all the way back to friggin' like the Egyptians and stuff like that. I just had a conversation with this with somebody the other day about how these same bloodlines have been ruling the planet for like 7,000 years. And there's so many, just from a logical standpoint, there's so many ways to disprove the possibility of that even happening. What people have to realize is that when within their system, greedy people who strive for power is all that system attracts, right? Anytime you have a system that's full of people that are greedy and they all desire power and they want all the power, you have nothing but power struggles. And over the last thousands of years, it's been nothing but different families, different people having power for maybe 100 years or three generations, and then someone else takes it over. And it's the system the system has a life of its own and kind of grows on its own, has taken on a life of its own, and the system is there, and these people simply know how to capitalize on it in a way that we don't. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. There's probably 20 or 30 or 40 upper families that you could consider like being like rulers of the world, if you want to call it that. I don't know, but I really don't care about any of that. That's so something so far out of my sphere of influence that it's nice to talk about just for for fun, but it has no relevance to me, because it's not like, okay, I finally figured it out. It's these 32 families right here. Okay, let's do something about that. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Nothing.
So some people have said, we need to understand the foundations, I guess, of the system and what the intention of it is in order to work it or try to, as you said before, kind of have it to our advantage in one sense. But so in a certain extent, maybe that's true, but that's not really what you're saying, though. This is another way. Yeah.
No, well, the whole thing is that if this system is rotten and the system stinks and people are tired of the system, you don't try to fix the system. You can't. It's working the way it was built to work. It was built to make them rich and us poor. It works perfect. You can't fix it. It's what it was designed to do. You can't change something's design, right? You can't make something into something it's not.
It's rigged. And therefore, just to cut in here briefly, this is also why there, I personally see there is a problem with all the groups who are going to the government, to the people who have in the beginning created problems to offer the solutions for these problems. But go ahead, Dean.
Well, the solution is to leave. If we don't like the system, then maybe we should build our own, because these people built this system. The people that built this system built it for their benefit. Maybe we should build a system that's for our benefit. That's the quick answer. That's the answer they don't want us to come up with, which is why they keep trying to make us think that if we simply learn everything there is to know about this system, that we're going to become ultra elites like them and have access to unlimited credit. No, that's never, ever going to happen, okay? It's an old boys country club. They have to invite you in, and we're never, ever going to be invited in, ever. I mean, that's George Carlin 101.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So the solution they don't want us to come up with is to just leave. Just leave. I've had it. I'm done. I'm gone. And I've been trying to teach people that recently, right? Like everybody's, oh, well, how do I do this and how do I do that? And I said, just leave. Send all the government ID back. Say, look, I'm opting out. I was born here, so I have the right to be a citizen of your nation. But guess what? I don't have the obligation to be a citizen of your nation. I have the right to be one, but I don't want to be one. I'm done. I'm out. See you later. And as soon as you become a non-resident of their organization, their bullshit doesn't apply to you anymore. Period.
So there is no very interesting point. Let's talk a little bit more about this. There's no obviously application here, so to speak. You don't need to file any paperwork.
No.
This is nothing that is associated with the system in this way. But at the same time, you do say that there's a certain set of things that you can do to demonstrate the fact that you have a desire to leave the system. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And you, the funny thing is you can still operate in commerce, just not being regulated by them. That gets into the whole birth certificate problem, the live birth record, the birth certificate. I've noticed there's people that, based on a couple of talks I gave about the live birth record, and there's another couple of people out there talking about that as well, Dan the Christian Man and a few other people that are really big on that. The problem is everybody ran out and got a live birth record and started using that, and the minute they got pulled over, they produced a live birth record and said, I don't need a driver's license. The problem is they didn't cancel their existing contracts with the government. They're still under contract. Your live birth record, it doesn't automatically, just being in possession of that and saying, here's my live birth record, doesn't get you out of the contracts you entered into with the government. You made application for Social Security. You made application for all this stuff with the government. You wanted to benefit from the government. You have to cancel all that, or the contracts still apply.
Or our parents did, in other words, correct?
Well, yeah, but I mean, for me, I mean, I signed up and got my social insurance number when I was 14.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
And then I gave it up when I was 20 or 21. And that was, I mean, I love it. They had a news special here in Canada about 2 months ago or whatnot, where they were really slandering who they call the free men. I don't know. Apparently, we're all a group now called the free men. So they've now given us a name, and now they're promoting hatred against us. But they had a 7-second clip of me on there, in one of my videos, where I just, the only 7 seconds of everything that I've ever taught people, like honor, obeying the law, being a responsible individual, they took the 7 seconds where I said, hi, my name is blah, 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 Dean Clifford, and I haven't filed taxes in 17 years. just to piss everybody off, eh? Yeah, this guy's not filing taxes, and all you people have to. That's the only angle they ever take. They want people to be mad at me because I'm the one that doesn't have to pay, and they're too gutless to try to get out of the system. So they want to take it out on me instead. But so that was the clip they took. But 17 years now, that's the rest of the story I should have told earlier too, is that I finally figured out, it started becoming apparent to me something was wrong when they used to show up at my house and they would be like, well, they were claiming I owed them $27,000 in income taxes, which was impossible because I think I only made $7,000 gross that year without expenses. That was how much I made in total that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I said, they'd be like, well, you owe us this much money, but you haven't filed in 2 years. So why don't we get your new filings up to date? I said, you know what? No, I'm not filing until you guys fix that from 3 years ago. I don't owe you that money. I'm not filing anymore until you fix that year. And then all of a sudden, they didn't want to talk about that $27,000 anymore. They just became more interested in me filing the new years. And so I just became more adamant about that. I said, no, I got an idea. How about I never file ever again until you guys fix that year? I'm never filing ever again until you go back and you get rid of that $27,000 that you know I don't owe. And they were really mad about that. Like, you have to file all blah, 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 blah. And then for the next 2 years, it became nothing but them chasing me for these newest filings. And so something started to click. Wait, something's wrong here. If somebody owed me $27,000, I'd be more worried about getting that $27,000 than I would be in trying to get a new more work out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As a contractor, like, hey, dude, I know you owe me $27,000, but hey, is there any more work I can do for you in the meantime? No, I wouldn't want to talk to that person until they paid me up to date for the previous stuff. So I started realizing, okay, something's wrong here. They're more worried about all these new filings than they are this money I owe them from years ago. So if they really want me to file that badly, that tells me that's what I should do, is never file ever again. So I never have. And then a couple of years after that, they had a specialist come out to my house there, and I sat down and he had a coffee in my living room, and he was asking me about the returns and said, I haven't filed in a number of years. And I got into a conversation with him and I said, who hasn't filed? And he says, well, you haven't. I said, oh, am I required to file? He says, well, you're a taxpayer, aren't you? I said, I don't know. Am I? Well, what do you mean? You don't know if you're a taxpayer or not? I said, no. Why don't you tell me what a taxpayer is and I'll tell you if I am one? He said, well, a taxpayer is a citizen. I said, oh, okay. Well, am I one of those either? Well, are you trying to tell me you're not a citizen? I say, well, I don't know. Am I? Why don't you tell me what a citizen is and I'll tell you if I am one? Well, a citizen's a taxpayer.
Mm.
So he started that circular logic with me. A taxpayer is a citizen, and a citizen is a taxpayer. And I just started laughing. And I just said, look, dude, you know, and he started the whole, you know, you're required to give me all your receipts because we're going to audit you. And I said, well, I don't have any. I burn them every year now. And I thought he was going to fall off the couch when I said that. He said, no, you're supposed to keep all those. You're required to give them to me when I demand them from you. And I said, really, am I required to testify against myself? And that's when he sat back in the chair and he didn't want to talk to me anymore. But because I'd already been learning a bit now, right? And I knew that filing all those informations against myself was testifying against myself. So, and then I just said, look, dude, I said, you know what? Let me make this easy on you. I haven't acted in the capacity of a taxpayer for 5 years now. I'm never going to act in the capacity of a taxpayer ever again. I'm not a client of your organization. I don't want to be. Ever again. Don't contact me. I'm done.
So, very interesting. You're obviously back then, your philosophy, I guess, was somewhat different than it is today, considering that you're talking about not even interacting with the system today on, you know, working it on that level. So instead, almost, it's like they're suggesting, you know, they built their own system. Why shouldn't, you know, we or those who are interested in doing so build an alternative system so they can operate and work within that in a way? Is that the line you're going? Because what you're talking about now is obviously you're instilling communication with the system of sorts, right? So what's your idea about this today?
Well, I'm still up in the air, and you know, for years now, I've attempted to work with them. They don't want to work with us. Okay, they only want one thing from us, and that's obedience. That's all they want from us. They don't want mutually beneficial relationships with us. They don't want to work with us. They don't want to build anything with us. They want compliance and obedience. That is it. Period. That's the only thing I've learned over the last 12 to 14 years of doing this now. Like when you go into court and you don't rise when a judge comes in because they're not really a judge in the first place and they get so mad, how dare you not rise when I walk in the room? You know, they'd rather throw you in jail because you didn't rise when they came in the room than because of any crime you might have actually committed.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not somebody that's interested in law. That's somebody that's interested in you complying with them and being obedient. You recognize my authority. You will be obedient, or I'll have these sheriffs beat obedience into you. Okay? It's outright tyranny is all it is. They're not interested in working with us. They're not interested in anything that we may have to offer in a productive capacity. So we're better off just leaving and building our own system at this point. That's the only way we're going to affect change.
I would agree with that. I think that's absolutely correct. I've had that philosophy myself for quite a long time now, in the way that the many people say, you know, it's our system, it's our rights, etc. It's our, even, you know, roads to that extent. It depends on what your viewpoint is when it comes to how much you've participated in the building of that, considering that you are then a tax paying if you are so. I understand that philosophy in that point of view, but I mean, have you started thinking about how to start a system on the side, or even if it is a system? I guess, I mean, we could talk a little bit about that. If there is something, maybe it's more unstructured than that. This is nothing that entails paperwork, etc. This is just people operating freely, doing commerce with each other, right? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say yet. I mean, that's probably something that would be a natural evolution of any kind of like little society of your own you try to build anyways. As it grows, it becomes more complex. You'd probably start introducing your own money or credit system based on merits and based on people's efforts and whatnot. We got all sorts of ideas and stuff we got floating around right now, because there is something that we're building, and I think we're going to talk about that a little later on. We already discussed that briefly. And when I say leave their system, I mean you actually obviously can't like literally leave to the point where you have no interaction with these people whatsoever. We don't want that.
Sorry to interrupt, but there's no, as far as I know, there's no physical place even on the earth anymore where you can actually go to opt out of the system, correct? I haven't found such a thing. Have you?
No, and it's our planet. I don't plan on going anywhere.
Go to the moon. Yeah, now go ahead.
It's ours. Yeah, yeah. We just need to take it back from these people. And that's the people always like, oh yeah, but you know, there's what about the 400 people that rule the world? What if they, all this kind of stuff? And I jokingly tell people every time they try to say, oh well, you can't do anything about it because there's 400 people that rule the world and whatnot. And I always jokingly say, oh good, all that tells me is that means there's only 400 people I have to kill to get rid of this problem then. I'm kidding, obviously. We don't even need to do that. I say it as a joke to people to make them realize how stupid it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, that, right? And I laugh about that too when Americans are talking about the fact that we're going to have to, we're going to have to go to war against our own military and our own government right away because of those 300 people in Congress. I was like, I got an idea. Why don't you call your local sheriff and say, hey, I got a good idea to avert a civil war. Why don't we go arrest 300 assholes in Congress?
Mm-hmm.
Throw them in jail. There we go. War averted. Right, there's simple solutions to all this kind of stuff, but building your own system, it's easy. I mean, we're doing it right now. The easiest way I see to get out of the mess that we're in, this all started with the banks and their mortgages, and they're getting us to register our property to be able to secure mortgages against it because we wanted to live the high life, right?
Right.
I want a mortgage. I want money now. I want to lease a car. I want all these loans. Credit. Okay, that's why we're in the problem. That's why we have the problems we have right now. Period. Right
so,
now,
so just there's a level of responsibility for, well, maybe our parents and their parents then, in a way. But go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was, right? They got lulled into this. Oh, yay! We'll loan you money for your farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can buy new farm equipment, and you can upgrade your farm, and you can buy more land, and get bigger and bigger, and get more and more into debt. And it was just a system that's been creeping up on us for about 70, 80 years now. And the only way to get out of this that I can really see is to start taking banks out of the equation. And that is by slowly. It's probably going to happen slowly at first, but we're doing it already right now. Is buying back properties and farms cash. And getting rid of banks and never, ever taking out bank mortgages and buying old. You know what? I'm in construction. I buy older trucks, right?
Yeah.
I'll spend $10,000 on a truck that's 8 or 9 years old, that's a diesel that's still in fantastic shape. I don't need an $80,000 diesel truck. I'll buy an older one. And I'll pay cash for it. How many lease payments do I have?
None. Yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty easy to do. We've started doing that now. This is getting into the solution stuff we're going to talk about later, I guess. But
right.
There definitely is an easy way to fight this back, and the best way is I always put things into simple stories. If you go to a house party that you don't like, and the owner of the house is being an asshole to you. But it's the only party in town, so everybody's there.
Right, yeah.
And he's, in fact, he's treating everybody like shit. So everybody's there. They're all like, man, the owner of this house is such an asshole, but this is the only party in town, so we're willing to put up with it. Well, how fucking hard is it to go start another party somewhere then and just treat people decently? And are they not going to leave that party and go somewhere where they're going to be treated decently?
If they knew there was an option, they probably would.
There you go. If there was an option. So that's one of the things we're trying to build right now, is we're trying to build something that's an actual viable option for people to go to now, because they're tired of this house party.
Mm. Yeah,
we're tired of it.
I totally agree. I get that. So things that are within our realm or on this level in the system right now, like credit unions or there are some kind of new banks popping up here and there. There's a couple of options here in Sweden even that seem pretty good that are outside of the realm of interest based loans and such. But that is still within the system, though. What's your feeling about those kinds of things?
That's still in their system. You're still paying interest. You're still paying mortgage. If you get a mortgage, you're still paying interest on your money. Right?
Yep.
Everybody wants a brand new $700,000 house, the most exclusive development, so they can keep up with the Jones, you know? Look at my house. Ooh, look at our master bedroom. Ooh, look at the walk-in closet and ensuite bathroom that my wife has in this house that we're in debt for the next 100 years. You know, that's not impressive. Are you kidding me? Bragging about how much you're in debt, but look at what we have. You have nothing, dude. You owe nothing. You're in debt for the next 100 years. You owe money on your cars. You live paycheck to paycheck. It's just disgusting when if people lived within their means, and that's what I loved about Winnipeg, where I live. Even up to 4 years ago, when I moved back here from Alberta in Canada, and I moved back to Winnipeg where I grew up, I could still buy a house in the north end of Winnipeg for $60,000. So I did. So I bought a couple of houses in North End of Winnipeg, and I've hung on to them, right? And then that's some of the stuff that we got going on right now, is that I have people moving here from various parts of the country who are living in the houses that I bought cash, and they're working with me, and they're not paying rent, but I pay them a little bit less on the job site. So they're living for free. They're getting paid cash. We're building. I'm doing construction. We got a farm that's up and running. We're doing stuff right now. And you know what? If you could buy a house for $60,000 and all it needs is a little bit of work – $60,000 is not a lot of money compared to the $700,000 houses that are being built and most of the developments that people are buying. But And then you do a little bit of work to it, and then you got a house that you own cash, right?
See, it's very interesting, because this is obviously about circumvented in the right way, and also then choosing to wheel and deal, do commerce with people who are... Well, both maybe, this is a moral question to a certain degree. You do business with the people that you feel you're on the same page as to a certain extent, but you also try to circumvent the idea of regular banking, I guess, then. I mean, right now we're moving into a cashless society. It's all electronic, which is another threat to the ideas that you're proposing, correct?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I actually don't see that succeeding. I can't see the cashless society coming in. Maybe that's the reason they're trying to tank the euro right now and bring in a whole cashless society afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's even places in Canada where local communities have their own local currency. I think there's even a place out in British Columbia, a place called Salt Springs Island, where I'm supposed to be going there in July, and they have their own Salt Springs Island currency. That I think that like one of the local governments prints, and it's good at every store in that around Salt Springs Island. There's all sorts of places that Canadian. We have a store in Canada called Canadian Tire, and you get a percentage whenever you go and you spend $100, you get like $5 in Canadian Tire money back. You can spend at Canadian Tire.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to make this society cashless, they're just going to make their society that much more intolerable. And all we have to do is create something that's just a little bit better than what they got going on, and people are going to want to leave in droves and come do what we're doing.
It's interesting. It's on an island. We had a similar example here in Sweden as well that was also on an island where they had their own currency developed it. And it, because it seems to be the frame, the reference how the mind works seems to indicate that it they can understand it on the level of an island, right? Because it's isolated. So you have a micro version of it. But the fact is that that obviously is applicable all over the world if we wanted to.
If you wanted it to be, exactly. As soon as, I mean, that's all a nation is a group of people that come together and agree to be governed in a certain manner, right?
Yep.
So if all those people agree that this is what they're going to use for currency, then that's what they're going to use for currency. We make our own money. We just have to we have to stop using, and when I mean use their system, we can use, I've had I don't know how many arguments with people about, oh, the minute you use their money, their law applies to you. You know what? Even were that the case, I don't care. Okay, I'm going to use their cash because that's what people are paying me with. I'm going to take a check from somebody I do work for. I'm going to cash it at a bank for my company, and I'm going to take the cash out, and I'm going to spend it. I don't care about this whole belief that, it's their money, and the minute you use it, all their laws apply to you. Okay, that's horseshit.
Is there anything written, I guess, about that? That's what we have to go to.
My answer to that is, prove it.
Yeah.
You take me to court and you say, oh, our statutes apply to you because you used our money. Good. You just fucking take me to court and you say that on the public record, because at least now I know. If you want to admit to that, do it. But they'll never admit to that, which means that they can't ever enforce that. Good luck.
What that also means then, Dean, is that it's built on uncertainty and also interpretation, most of all. It means that in certain cases, if you can get the party to agree to a certain outcome legally, then if that goes ahead, then from their perspective, fine, that's the way it is. In other words, if somebody agrees to recognize that they have more power over you and hence then make payments to them for whatever reason or for whatever thing that they've pushed on us, then from their perspective, fine. They probably agree with that. That's okay. But if you, as you say, try to make them define the words and define the terms and define what they actually want to do, it becomes more vague, it seems like. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely. And that's where the strong point comes in. I mean, a lot of the arguments people are starting to make in the courts now, and that's what's making them nervous now, to the point where they're just actually, they're not even following their own laws anymore. They can't. Because too many people are going to court now and they're demanding to know by what authority statutes apply to them. And the only way that they can prove that statutes apply to them and all this bullshit applies to them is if they were to produce the social insurance number or the social services, like when you apply for a social insurance number or a social security number. The only possible document they could produce to prove that you granted authority to them over you is to produce that contract where you applied for that social security number. That's the only thing they could produce. If they ever walked into court and say, yep, here, you granted power of attorney to us because you filled out the social insurance number application form, that would be the last time anybody ever filled one of those out. So they can never, ever prove it. So now in court, that's why they just resort to bully and sheriffs arresting you and... They just ignore us in the courtroom now, and they carry on like we're not even there. They've just resorted to such a level of absolute arrogance that it's made it even more obvious that they have absolutely no authority, jurisdiction, or claim over us, because they can't answer any questions to the point where they just ignore us now. So in effect, they've made people realize that we have to be right because they can't answer these questions. They would rather throw us in jail and risk criminal charges than actually try to prove exactly what gives them jurisdiction over us.
And why is that, do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly why. Because if they actually pulled out a document and said, this is why we have jurisdiction over you, it's the application for the social security number.
They'd give it away, right?
That's it. It's over. It's done. That's the last time anybody ever filled one of those bastards out. So they have to hide that. They have to conceal it. And that's just fraudulent right there, right from the get-go. So they're exposing themselves with their own arrogance.
Very good. That's right? Really good. That also means, again, we're back to that position that you can just kind of take a few steps back and just let the absurdities of the system, present itself, if you will.
Absolutely. They're their own greatest enemy. right? We used to be our own greatest enemy to ourselves by remaining ignorant. But now that we're not ignorant anymore and we're asking the right questions, and they have to resort to screaming and yelling and jumping around like monkeys in the courtroom and, you know, screeching like a chimpanzee fighting over a banana. That's what their courtrooms are like now. I've seen it. I can't believe it. We're now the calm ones laughing at them while they screech like orangutans. It's pathetic. It's like, are you guys kidding me? You actually consider this to be a court? You guys are pathetic. Like, they look stupid. I have secondhand embarrassment for these people now half the time when I'm in there. And it really made me that's what really made me wake up and just go, you know what? This is futile. These people are actually just infants is what they are. They scream when they don't get their way.
Well, it's a big charade. Just check out their costumes, at least in the majority of countries, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. It's falling apart, and it's becoming more obvious the more ridiculous they get to try to hang on to this perceived power they have, the more pathetic they look, and the more people are waking up going, yeah, you know what? You're right. These people are douchebags.
Is it irrelevant in what country we are, would you say? I mean, you're obviously under what, common law jurisdiction, Canadian, you know, law, etc.
Well,
but does it matter?
It doesn't. I don't even like the word common law, right? We're talking about an inherent rights, right? The right of a man, and like all men man is created equal, and man is men and women. Period, right? We're mankind. That's where the word man comes from. So if man was created equal, nobody has authority over another man. Period. That's not a common law thing. That's basically just a generally accepted fundamental like right. Nobody has authority over another. So no government has authority over anybody, right? Government's a creation of man. How could it have authority over us unless we consent to be governed by it? That's the big thing is the whole consent part.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We just said about 10 minutes ago what that any nation, any system is just a group of people that come together and consent to be governed in a certain manner. Well, that's what it is. It's consent, and we can remove our consent anytime we want to.
And again, that is nothing that entails filing something, correct?
It's nice to send them a notice, yeah.
And why would you want to do that?
Just to send them notice that says, you know, hey, it's been a blast. I just realized you guys are a bunch of cowards and a bunch of scumbags and parasites who live off my labor and do nothing but abuse my rights. So I think I'm just going to leave. Have a nice life. P.S. Go get a job. Go produce something and quit living off us. Send them a notice. And just tell them and say, if you're claiming that I cannot leave and become a non-resident of your organization, get back to me within 21 days and you send me a lawful reason as to why I cannot become a non-resident of your nation. All right? And here's the interesting thing about all this, actually. It's funny how this stuff all comes together usually for a reason. There definitely is a greater consciousness at work here. And then people are always like, oh, well, if you don't want to be a member of our society, then, you know, leave Canada. I said, yeah, I have left Canada. What makes you think Canada is this landmass?
Yeah, well, exactly. Good point.
It's not. I was born here. I have the right to be here. You can't make me leave because I live here. I exist here. I was born here. And if I choose to not be a member of your society, I don't have to be, and I can still live here, and you can't stop me. You can't stop me from leaving. You can't stop me from coming back. I mean, these are all in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. You can't be prevented from leaving a country, and you can't be prevented from coming back to it.
Now, can that be? Can they ever define that, do you think? Because we're in the realm of fiction, right? When they say this is, let's talk about Canada since you're there. They say, yep, this is Canada, this is the territory, and they look at a map or something and draw it out with a pen. You know, that's an imaginary line that they've drawn there. It doesn't actually exist out there in the real world. So consequently, the burden of proof, as you've said, I guess many times, is on them, right? How do they prove that this is actually the land of Canada when you're out there in the real world? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, another way to explain it, I always put things in different terms to help people explain it. Yeah, if you look on a map and they've got all of the landmass that we call Canada shaded in and they say, this is Canada, right? Okay, Well, let's look at a few other things. What is the sales territory of Coca-Cola Canada, Coca-Cola Corporation? If you were to look at a map of their sales territories, they would have a shaded inland area of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Monsanto Canada? Where do they do business? Shade in the sales territory for Monsanto Canada. You'd probably come up with a map that looks just like the government of Canada, right?
Right.
It's just another corporation, and that is their sales territory. That is it. That's all that map shows. For instance, people were like, oh, yeah, well, you know, with property taxes, a couple of my houses that are inside the city of Winnipeg. Well, yeah, but you're inside the city of Winnipeg's city limits. Okay, if you look on a map, yep, this is what the city of Winnipeg says is where their jurisdiction is, right? That's just jurisdiction. Just because my house is physically located inside where they've drawn a line, does that mean that if Coca-Cola showed me a map of one of their sales territories that's all of Winnipeg and says, oh, look, your house is inside our sales territory, I guess, does Coca-Cola corporate rules and regulations apply to my house because I'm inside one of their sales territories? No, that's just where they do business. If I do business with them, if I'm a resident of their organization, which means if I hold office with Coca-Cola, that's all this is. It's the same thing. And that's how easy this stuff is to attack. Yeah, I may live here, but exactly how does that force me to be a resident of your organization? I'm not. Fuck off.
Is there any...
You can tell people that, eh? Like, that's... sorry, I hope you guys don't mind swearing on your program.
No, it doesn't matter. That's fine.
That's one of my things to fame there, is just telling people bluntly, just like it is. If you don't want to do business with somebody, you tell them to fuck off.
Well, why not?
That's your right. Your right is to not contract with people. That's a right you have. So when a city sends you a tax notice for property taxes... They're hoping you don't come back and say, whoa, excuse me, hey, hang on. When did I ever agree to become a resident of your city?
And as far as you know, is there anything they can say at that point? Yes, you know, when your parents, etc. No?
No, because they tried that with me, and they ended up staying proceedings in court against me on some bylaw violations and property taxes on one of my properties because I asked them just that question. I said, it's my understanding that this property, this particular property, is owned fee simple absolute, which means free of condition. I have no contract with you people. I don't want any of your services. I don't receive anything that I don't already pay for. Who are you? What is your standing? And what gives you the authority to send me a tax bill? They never got back to me. Instead, they just stayed proceedings in court. I could boil that whole thing that I sent a 2-page document. I could probably get that down to about 4 lines now.
Mm-hmm.
And they can never answer it. And they hope that you never ask that question because it's all presumed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, well, you live in the city of Winnipeg. You're a resident of the city. Don't they always ask you that? Resident?
I would guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. They always ask you if you're a resident of somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's the key word there. And you say, no, I'm a non-resident. I don't want your services.
Interesting. So it's again, we're back to the words, and also what is being said is most important. Is there any distinction in your opinion between the spoken word and the written word?
There's the whole, you know, so it is written, so it shall be done.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the written word is for greater clarity. So I am a bit of a fan of the written word if I want greater clarity with something. But you don't need to have anything in writing if you're going to go to court against any of these people. It can all be done verbally. It's not a problem. But I like written contact in advance, asking them very precise questions with the written language for greater clarity.
Now, Dean, we're going to take a break here in a little bit. We're going to continue talking especially more about some of the solutions, about some of the things that you guys are doing right now in the second hour. I think it's good to get into more detail about that. But there's a few other things we could just mention and talk about here before we wrap things up with the first hour. We had, you know, for instance, Stefan Molyneux, also from up there in Canada, a while back with us. And we talked about some of these ideas as well when it comes to the need for government, I guess. There's a... a scare there for many people. They think they say, you know, they think what you suggested earlier, what the media has been trying to put out, anarchy, right? This, there no police, no fire department, no help. Everything is falling apart. Is there any way you can, I guess, tackle some of these issues in terms of, you know, when you talk about your ideas and maybe if people automatically go there with their line of thinking? Yeah.
Why would there be no police or no fire department if we restored law and order? Wouldn't that just mean that the police respect the law and actually follow it instead of what they do right now, which they're immune from those laws and they don't follow them and they break them routinely? Why would there cease being police just because we return to law and order? We bring it back. Police are still going to be there, right? We still pay taxes on everything we buy. There's still 12% taxes on anything I purchase retail. I build houses, believe me. I just spent $1,000 today on some building materials and a couple things. I'll spend another $1,000 tomorrow. And I paid over $100 in taxes every time I spend $1,000. Mm-hmm. Why would there not be police anymore? We could do with a whole lot less government. We could get rid of 99% of the statutes and legislation on the books. It doesn't need to be there. We already know what our rights are. Get rid of all this shit. And things will actually be easier. And then these assholes that work for the government will go have to find real jobs and be productive members of society again. Right? That's not, it's comical that people think that this, you know, oh, there's going to be anarchy. There'll be no hospitals. There'll be no firefighters. There'll be no police. Why? There's more than enough money to pay for all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I don't try to get out of paying sales taxes. I don't mind paying those because that's an option. I have the option to not buy anything, and then I don't pay those. My big problem is income taxes because they try to say I have no option. If I earn a living, I have to pay income taxes. Well, fuck them. Bullshit, I do. That pisses me off. I don't like that. Or just because I own a house, I have to pay property taxes on it? Oh, there won't be any schools. Good! I don't want my kids going to their shit schools anyways. I'd rather fund my own school.
That's right. Sorry to interrupt, but that's a good point as well. The service that they offer, and in most cases, in many countries anyway, there is a monopoly, that the government has monopoly on those services as well. And in most cases, those services suck. And there's no one else that can set up an alternative to that. But go ahead, Dean.
Yeah. You know what? Great. If they have to fire all their police, guess what? I'll start up a new police force. We'll call them sheriffs. And I guarantee you I could get people that are a hell of a lot more responsible than the pieces of human garbage that they hire here locally. And I can say that. Darren was going to ask me, one of the guys living with me right now, moved here to start working in the community. He asked me if I was going to bring up some of the stuff in the past that the police and the government have done to me that would probably make most people, that they wouldn't even believe half the stories I've got to tell you about what scumbags these people are, right? What moral-less scumbags these people are. And, what happens if there's no more police? Well, I'd say we'd be a whole lot better off to start with. Okay, number one. Oh, no. No more random check stops where they pull me over and they say, oh, you don't have government permission to drive. We're going to steal your truck you just paid $20,000 cash for. Okay? That's happened to me twice now. Good. Get rid of them. We could do a better job ourselves. And it's come down to that. That's exactly what you were just saying there, that the services that they have a monopoly on, that they do provide, we overpay for them, they're mismanaged, and they're shit.
Mm.
They hire the biggest incompetent assholes they can possibly find.
If no one complains on the services, if no one says anything about it, or even again, then have the opportunity, or offer something else on the side, it's an important point too. We can sit around and whine, you know, in that sense, all day and complain and stuff, but it's not going to fix the problem, and they're just going to continue as they continue. So they have to be, I guess, a level of communication with the fact that you voice not a disagreement, but the fact that you're not unhappy with the service that is provided, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, recently I've even discussed certain things in Canada here. I was like, well, you know, if we don't like the police here because they're obviously not training the police properly, they don't know what people's rights are, they're not respecting anything. When they come across one of us, quotation mark, non-residents or non-citizens or quotation marks, free men that they've labeled us, they don't know how to handle us. So their solution to that is to just beat us and throw us in prison for a couple of days, right? That happens.
Mm-hmm.
If they're incapable of teaching their police officers correctly, or maybe they're happy with the level of incompetence that their police display around here, I suggested that maybe I contact the Governor General of Canada, or even go on to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II right in England and say, look, I'm going to start my own police force, because the people that you have hired, being Canada, to run this part of your realm have become incompetent to a level where they just are incapable of running this country. So we're just going to start taking over the things that they should be doing because they can't do it. So I want you to authorize me to start like a common law police force or something like that.
But see, isn't that the problem though, in one way? Because then you're going to her, you're going to them, you're applying yep. for this. Isn't
well,
that
Well, that's always a good place to start though, right? Because we are a Commonwealth nation, and that there is a duty still on that particular figurehead to fix these kind of problems when we're unhappy with what's going on. And failing that, then we leave that all together and literally just go out on our own.
So what you're saying, you can give it a try. Is that what you're saying? And if that
Absolutely.
Fails, yeah, okay.
Oh, mm-hmm. Of course, I'm still big on, you know what, if these people want to work with us, great.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think that they could be useful. They're not right now, but they could be. But we're so far on the one side of the paradigm right now. We've got a long ways to come back just to be in the center. And failing that, I'd give it a chance. I would, but I'm not hopeful that somebody would get back to me and say, yeah, you're right. The RCMP are so hopelessly incompetent that, maybe you should just kind of, you guys should start your own little police force, which probably would be the case anyways, because if we're non-residents of Canada and that's a Canadian police force, that's the same as me saying, well, I don't work for Coca-Cola. I want Coca-Cola's security people to protect me. No, maybe we just need to start doing what, you know, like back in the old days is have our own little towns and start there again and have our own sheriff or our own whatever the hell you want to call it. You vote, everybody in the community votes somebody into office mm-hmm. who is the law enforcement for that area.
Right.
I'd be okay with that because the monopoly that these people have is just, it's disgusting. It's a, you know, most people in Canada don't even know that the RCMP is a private for-profit corporation.
Hmm.
They are not police. They are security force. They are a private security force hired by Canada. They're not government. They're not police officers. Okay, they're a private for-profit security firm. That's all they are.
Interesting. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that in the second segment, some of the I guess, evidence for that, if you will, what has been found about that, because that's very interesting. I wanted to talk about the websites a little bit, and we need to do an update of sorts, I guess, for people who used to be able to find your stuff on freemanitoba.com, but you're currently setting up a new site and you don't have the URL domain name for that yet, right?
Yeah, that site was never mine in the first place, the Free Manitoba one, and then the person that was running it, I guess they decided not to continue on with it or whatever, which is not a big deal. I've had two offers to build websites in the meantime for some information for people, and both of those projects either failed to launch or they didn't follow through on anything that they said they were going to do. So I got a third guy now that was going to build something for me. I'm not sure how grandiose it's going to be because I think we're getting out of the whole getting people to feed their system by giving it energy and arguing with them. And I think we want to start educating people on how to actually extricate themselves from the system now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we started our own party, but all we want to do now is tell people how to get to our party.
And is everybody welcome to the party?
Everybody is welcome to the party. It's a meritocracy. It's based on your merits. If we decide that you're an asshole, well, you're not going to go very far.
All right. Well, that's interesting. We need to talk a little bit more about that too, where if there is a danger to end up in the same kind of rules and regulations and you know, stuff like that with it. It's a very, very interesting thoughts, very interesting ideas that we're talking about here, and it's we're going to continue here in the next hour to do so. You have a YouTube channel up there, youtube.com/freemanitoba, right? That's your... Is that your...
Actually, that YouTube channel is somebody else's. I got a YouTube channel up there that I don't know if I use it very often, but it's actually just DCDOTCF, which is just Dean Christopher David of the Clifford family, right? It's an acronym. It's just DCDOTCF, and that's just my YouTube thing where I kind of watch videos and do everything. But no, I'm kind of almost getting less technological here as I go, where I'm actually on YouTube less, I'm on Skype less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm back doing my construction work. We're back building things. We're back doing, you know, a lot of the real stuff. And I have a couple of people that want to start running all the online stuff and getting the online part of the community together. And I think they're the ones that are going to do that. So I think for now, I sent you the info for Lee's website in the UK there, which is the t4tt.info.
That's
and
right.
And I think any updates to do with what we're going to be doing would probably be posted on his site first.
Okay, that's really good for people who want to find out more about this. Then the number 4 and TT.info, T4TT.info. And obviously, we're going to have that website up as well and some of the other, you know, channels on YouTube that you mentioned, Dean, and stuff like that. A lot of good stuff out there. And again, obviously, for people that haven't heard about your work before and who might be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? You can obviously go back to the basics, if you will, on some of these videos, because it's all there and it's really, you know, laid out in terms of basic concepts that has to do with jurisdiction. It has to do with, you know, legal person, trustee, beneficiary, you know, director and administrator. It's really interesting stuff. So in that regard, we'll leave you for that for now here in the first hour, and then we can continue with more in the second. So stay with us, Dean. We'll be right back with much more.
I'm not alone. Yes, I know that it may seem that way, but you don't understand. I've got all the angels with me. I'm not alone. I've got elephants who come and play, but you don't understand. I see me in you, and you in me. I am free, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Take my hand, I've been here for many years, talking to the tree. And stay, but try to understand. Try to understand. I swam across the oceans. I opened up my heart. I gave away my fortune. Yeah, miracles will start. See, I'm not alone.
second hour with Dean Clifford is coming up. If you're a regular listener, you know what's going on here. You know that we have a members area filled with good stuff. Many of our second hours are featured there. If you're new to the program, head on over to our website, redicecreations.com. Click on subscribe, get a hold of a membership, and get full access to our archives. In the second hour, we are going to discuss the important aspect of not giving away any of our energy to the system around us. Dean argues that there is a spiritual component to how government and law really works. Everything is mirrored, it has been turned 180 degrees around against us, and the system ultimately seeks our energy, and it wants us to engage in it in a specific way. Our most precious commodity is our energy, attention, and time, and this is really what the system, after all, is after. We also discuss what Dean and his friends are doing right now in Canada to create alternatives for people who want to disconnect from the current system in place and start to operate in a different way. We discuss what can be done locally in most areas and that people's attitude is the one and most single important part in all of this. If there's no willingness to put in hard work, Dean argues, then nothing is going to change. We discuss if, within a new system of sorts, there really is a need for guidelines. Are rules and regulations something that ultimately is unavoidable? Don't miss our second hour with Dean Clifford. Go to redicecreations.com to log in or sign up to hear more. Next on Red Ice Radio, you'll be able to hear John B. Wells from Coast to Coast AM, Neil Kramer on his new book, The Unfoldment. And after this, we have Peter Halldórsson from Iceland on The Measure of the Cosmos. Nora Gedgaudas, Britt D. and Tom Secker, Richard Grove, Winter Lake, Alex Newman, Eric Karlstrom, Janice Barcelo, Drunvalo Melchizedek, Jordan Maxwell, and many more will be coming on the program. We hope to have you with us soon again. You're welcome to tune in at any time for more radio on exciting and important topics. But right now, we are going to continue with our second hour with Dean Clifford. Stay with us for more.